with no more than Brother Ray Asher. Praise God. Amen. Tremendous, tremendous. Amen. Amen. We've seen several folks praying. I baptized 23 in the river in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Ghost. And my, so you know it's not all bad. There's some good things, praise God. We can hold our head up and say, praise God, that God's still mindful of us and He's helping us. And I'm praying desperately for my mother that God would continue to work for her. I've seen mother shed many tears that night in the altar, praise God, praying and travailing, asking God to have mercy on her. And that's why, amen, I'm real cautious. I want to see my family, praise God, make it. Amen. The devil told me several years ago that I never see them saved. Amen. Well, I'm glad that God's still on the throne and God's still in charge. Praise God. Thank you for the offering. I appreciate the privilege of being here. I've got to hurry if I'm going to get you out at 9. Amen. Isaiah chapter 33 and verse 14. Amen. And I'm sure everybody here probably is claiming to be saved tonight. But I'll grant you, there has been a thought on my heart. I can't get away from it. Amen. It's been there. I'm stuck with it, I suppose. It's not a classic. It's not wild. It's not a deep. It's just a simple little thought. Amen. I just want to read a few portions of scriptures. Here it is in the 33rd chapter of the book of Isaiah. I've read it before. In the 14th verse, the Bible said this, partially reading, "Who amongst us shall dwell with the devouring fire? Who among us shall dwell with everlasting burnings?" Praise God. I want to read another portion of scriptures in Psalms. I read it when I was here last. "The wicked shall be turned into hell, and all the nations that forget God." Amen. I want to read again in Isaiah, I believe it is, that, amen, maybe the 14th chapter, amen, the Bible said this, "Hell from beneath is moved for thee to meet thee at thy coming." Praise God. I want to read another portion of scriptures, amen, found in Isaiah again, chapter 5, such a familiar portion of scriptures. Here's what the Bible said, amen, let me find it right here. Amen. "Therefore hell hath enlarged herself and opened her mouth without measure." I'd like to read one more portion of scriptures found in St. Luke. Amen. Chapter 16 and verse 23. The Bible said, "And in hell he lifted up his eyes." Amen. Amen. It's a very simple thought. Amen. But oh, let me tell us tonight. My cry is this: don't go to hell. Amen. Don't go to hell. Young person, listen to me. Not one of us has to be lost. Not one of us has to go to hell. Amen. We have too good of opportunity to be saved to let our lives slip away and then be found in the jaws of damnation and hell forever and ever. I thought as I was kind of reading a little more today, amen, hell's not exactly the final place. I read in the book of Revelation chapter 20 and verse 12, it talked about a white throne judgment. Amen. Then it said, Brother Randy, amen, that many of them will be casted even into the lake of fire, which is the second death. Oh God. Let me tell us tonight, even my cry has been, do not go to hell. Somebody said, preacher, even you could preach anything, even but that, praise God. I grant you, if there's ever a message that needs to be preached to its full extent, if possible, it's on the "don't go to hell." They've been crying out, please, sinner, repent of your sins and be saved. Amen. Oh, my God, how sad it is to hear the stories. I don't know. Maybe it's a sin. I don't know. Amen. Can you give me just a little bit of volume? Amen. It might be a sin. Amen. But Brother Collins, I got this book, and I'm all shook up about it. I know it's just a book, but it's called the Divine Revelation of Hell. Amen. By Mary Baxter, I believe. Amen. She tries her best to describe what she saw in a dream night after night in hell. She describes such episodes as even walking up to souls, even in hell, that would say, amen, I'd like to have another chance. I'd like to be able to get out of this place. And the Lord would stop and say to her, this soul, in your lifetime I dealt with you when you was a young girl. You said to me, you didn't need me. I don't want you now. Maybe Sunday I'll have you. But all our time had gone, and she was 83, 82, 83 years old. And she said to the Lord, Lord, I didn't think I ever needed you, but now I need you. And the Lord said unto her, it's too late. It's too late. Judgment is set, and I can't change it. I got to struggle as I read that book. Amen. I'm serving an awesome God. I'm serving a miraculous God. I'm serving a very big God, if I may. I'm serving a God that can do anything. But when I read stories in that book and correspond with the Word of God, I find out there's one thing that my blessed God cannot do, and that's get me out of hell if I neglect my salvation. Can you say amen? Oh God, I don't want to be lost and go into hell. Listen, listen, you can gamble with a lot of things, but you better not gamble with your soul. Amen. Oh, listen to me, mother. Listen to me. Just going to church ain't going to get the job done. For in this book, and I don't want to just refer to the book because some people get offended, you know, but I grant you, it's shaking me up. I mean, I've just read 5 chapters and that's all I can digest right now. I'm just taking a little bit at a time. I've been reading some books such as Lost Souls, First Day in Eternity. Amen. My, the book called Hell and Back. Even it spooks me. It terrifies my soul when I see the slights in us. I grant you, my brothers and my sisters, in 14 plus years living for God, there's been days I'm glad God didn't call me. I'm glad God gave me another chance to go back to the altar and pray again. Amen. Come on, help me here a minute. I'll try to get you out here in a few minutes. If you'll help me, praise God. Don't go to hell. We got a great opportunity, young people. Listen to me, young people. This is our day. This is the greatest day of our life. We're in the Cadillac of time, if I may, and we can be saved, and we can live for God, and we can be somebody if we'll keep ourselves holy before God in an altar of prayer, reading and studying the Word of God. God will keep us saved in such a dark hour. Listen, I don't believe in backsliding. People do it anyhow. I said, I don't believe in it. They do it anyhow. Amen. But oh, somebody send that preacher. Now listen, would y'all just help me a minute? Would you help me just a minute? When was the last time you went to a funeral when the preacher didn't say, I'm satisfied, they're in heaven? Every time that I go, it don't matter. Amen. I went to one time, and the lady was a drug addict. She just got out of the drug institute in the state of California. Amen. She was an alcoholic. Amen. She was wild, very wild. She crashed right down the street from my house. Amen. I don't know how she did it. I don't know why she did it. She run into some parked cars on the Beltline. Amen. And died suddenly. But when that preacher preached her funeral, amen, there must have been 150 young people from the age of 20 and down at that funeral, Sister Collins. And he told those young people, even you are to patternize your life after this young lady. Even I thought, my God, how sad. No, I don't want my daughter patternizing after a drug addict. My heart had hit me while I tried to preach. My God, have mercy. Even I want my little girls, if they had to be going through the house with their hands in the air, just saying, oh God, I don't know if I'm going to do that, than to patternize after the world. Can you say amen? Listen, it's fearful. I went funeral after funeral. I hear them say, oh, they're in heaven. If they're not there, there ain't nobody there. Amen. One man preached a funeral not too long ago. Brother Roger. He preached so good about that guy. He put him in heaven. Then his own son walked up to him at the funeral, a graveyard. Said, "Preacher, I really liked you. I appreciate kind words that you said about my dad. But you're the biggest liar ever lived. Because my dad wasn't none of the above. Oh, God have mercy. Amen. Make it sound as good as you like. Amen. But the Bible said, however a tree falls, so shall it lie. If it falls to the north, it'll lay there until the day of judgment. If it falls to the south, it'll lay there until Jesus comes and resurrects that soul." Can you say amen? I tell people like this, you preach your own funeral. Huh? That's right. No, your mama might not be able to make you do some things. Because you're 15 now. Amen. Well, I'll grant you one thing. When you come go to counting the days that you're wasting, you're going to slow yourself down one of these days and find out you ain't got as long to live as you once had. I'll tell you something. I may be far off as amen can be tonight. I believe you can shorten your days by your disobedience. I believe you can shorten your days by your rebellious. Come on now, young lady. You might be making mother and dad walk the floors over you now. They may be walking at midnight or wringing their hands saying, "Oh, I wonder where my daughter's at." But just remember one thing. The Bible said, "Be not deceived, for God is not mocked. For whatsoever man soweth, that shall he also reap. If you sow to the wind, you're going to reap the whirlwind. You better wake up and realize if you put them through torment, it'll come home to you some of these days." Amen. How many? It's a joke. I'll tell y'all something. Y'all been in longer than I have. But I'll tell you something. There's a relaxation amongst a crowd when you talk about hell. Amen. We're not going to hell, preacher. How you know? You ain't there yet. Come on. I want to go to heaven. I want to see that city. Don Tepio sang for us the other night. 1,500 miles. Amen. I want to see that city. Amen. But I'll grant you one thing, Sister Collins. We're going to have to walk a tight rope to get there. It's a narrow way. Come on, hit me while I try to preach. Even young people think, well, even the church is just down on you. The pastor's just down. Reverend Brand's just come soon's just down. Mom and Dad's down on me. No, they're not. They've been down that road. They've seen it already. They know the tricks of the devil. Because the Bible said we're not ignorant to the devil's devices. All Mom and Dad's trying to do is save yourself some scars on your life. And possibly a trip to hell. Amen. You imagine when a man walks out in hell, like she said, she saw, and she said, "Why is he here?" Quoting scriptures. Why is she here? Quoting scriptures.
Why?
Can you answer? And even she said, "Lord, will you tell me why I am here?" Amen. And the Lord perceived to talk to her. Amen. You just get yourself a glimpse of this. Amen. A skeleton with meat falling off of it and liquid flesh running to the ground. Eyes with holes and a skeleton frame of a body walking out quoting scriptures in hell. Amen. And the Lord would say, "I called you, sis, to preach the gospel even at an early age. You preached for a little while, but then you'd rather have the applauses of men. You'd rather have this and you'd rather have that. And furthermore, amen, you know what happened." And she said, "Yes, Lord, but here's the thing. Amen, I'm sorry, and I'll preach now. I'll go preach now. I'll go work now
Lord. And the Lord would say, judgment is set. There's no way for you to get out. I can't help you, oh God. And this lady turned to the Lord in a book and said, Lord, can you explain to me why this lady's here? And said, yes, I can. Said she was doing well. But one night, even she come home and caught her husband running with another woman, and it overthrew her. She got bitterness in her heart. I'll tell you something tonight. In the Pentecostal churches, we got so many people sitting on pews with hard feelings and grudges. Amen. Come on, hear me here a minute. Amen. We got bitterness in our heart from 20 years ago. And if we're not mighty careful, when we stand before the Almighty God, He's going to say, because of thy bitterness, you're going to be lost forever and ever. She got so bitter, so full of jealousy. Y'all don't have jealousy in Ohio, probably. Boy, you got it in Kentucky. One trying to outdo the other. Amen. Come on. Go plumb out on the road you're trotting. Come on. What are you going to do when the lights disappear? Amen. She got so bitter that she killed her husband and the girl he was running with, and then turned and killed herself and went to hell because of bitterness. I'm going to tell you something. Oh, my, there may be some things that will be questionable whether or not you'll go to hell over. But when you neglect a so great plan of salvation, even you'll slip headlong into hell. I don't care if you know every scripture in the Bible. I don't care if you've been a Sunday school teacher all your life. I don't care if you've been even a deacon all your life. Great God have mercy. If you ain't got a born again genuine experience with Jesus Christ, you'll die and go to hell when you leave this old walk of life. God help me. I'm trying to hurry. Amen. We don't think it. You know, I don't know about heat. And man, there was a water hose there. And my mouth was so dry. It's cold coming out of that water hose. And I got to crying. And I said, my God, I don't want to go to hell. Just imagine, I'd only been 25, 30 minutes up on that ladder. And Brother Gary, I was so hot, my mouth felt horrible. Even there's been times, and I speak simple, and I went several days without any water till my lips started parching. Amen. And then get a cold drink. And think, my, how wonderful it feels. But then I think about people that's been in hell even for 25, 35, 105, 205, 1,000 years. May God have mercy. They ain't never had a drink of water. They search for deliverance. They look for an exit. They try to get out. They do everything they can to bargain for another day of grace. But judgment is set. It's over. They'll never come back to where you're at tonight. They're gone. They're their long home. Oh, I thought, how sad would it be for you to go to hell? Amen. Amen. Sitting on a church pew. Amen. I got called a few days ago to go in to a hospital room that I knew not, didn't know anybody. I didn't know them. They just said, there's a man in the hospital calling for a preacher. And I'm always glad to go. If you get me the word, I try to go. And when I got there, I seen the door shut, and you had to walk through this door and go into another room, then into another door, and it had gloves and masks and all that. So I inquired. The lady said to me, said, I don't know if you want to go in there or not. I said, oh, yeah. I said, I've been called to come. I'm a preacher. They said, you need to get yourself all scrubbed up, gown, hat, and all that stuff. You know, they want you to put on mask and gloves, and said, be careful. I said, can you tell me one thing? What's the matter with this guy? They said, preacher, we're not supposed to tell anything. I said, yeah, but this guy's dying, and we need to know something. I said, well, has he got any family? They said, well, he's got family, but they don't come around him. They don't want nothing to do with him. He's 42 years old, and he's dying. He's gasping for breath. He's been a drug addict and alcoholic all of his life. He's walked the streets and run and bummed and stole and been in jail. Amen. Nobody wants him now. He's on death's door. He can't produce. He can't get another hit for somebody. He can't take them down to the drug house and get them in and get them out. He's dying. I called the home and they said, hey, I ain't got time, so I got to work. I ain't got time. I said, sir, do you understand who I am? I said, I'm a preacher of the gospel. I've been called into this room, and your brother's dying. Do you realize that? He said, my God, I didn't think he was dying. I said, he's dying. I said, they said he may be dead before next hour rolls around. He said, I'll be right up there. Amen. He stood and shook his head and said, my God, he used to have ability to do great. But one day he drifted away from home and he started taking drugs and he started on alcohol. And look at him now, a rail of bones. That nurse told me, said, preacher, he's got AIDS, so be real careful. Amen. Well, you know how the devil, he'll try to spook you out. But the Lord immediately came to me and said, I'll bring none of those diseases upon you. I come up out of Egypt. I said, thank God for the comforting of the Word and the Holy Ghost. Amen. I got in there. He was in a coma. He was gone. He was, the nurse told me, said, preacher, he'll be gone. Veins was popped out of his head. I've seen white folks, but when it's black folks in this, was a black situation. Brother Randy, you couldn't, it's just horrible. It was a picture of sin. Young people, you say, that won't never happen to me. I grant you, if we can look around, amen, and just call back some days, there have been some young people sitting right on these pews, shouting right around these altars, that walked away one day, and tonight they're a drug addict, tonight they're an alcoholic. Come on, help me while I try to preach here a minute. Great God, have mercy. Amen. But oh, God, I thought, man, we got to do something. For 4 solid hours, I bombard heaven. And I beg God. I said, God, if there's any way possible, can you please have mercy? We need mercy, God. In our ignorance, we run wild. But would you have mercy in a time like this? I'd get up close to his bed. He was out. I'd say, call his name. I'd say, you need God. You need God. You need God. He can do nothing. I poured him to the cross. Somebody said, he's a drug addict and he's got AIDS and he's an alcoholic and somebody's going to help somebody like that. Them's the people that need help. Them's the people that's at death's door. Somebody better stick out and say, hey, get to the cross. I'm sorry for your life. I'm sorry you chose this route. You took the bad road. You took the wrong turn. But oh, God, if I could get you back to the cross, and maybe help at the cross for you. If you could just get a hold of Jesus. 4 hours, nothing happened. I walked out of that room and went downstairs, and I met a black woman in the hall. And somehow or another, the Lord just kind of moved on me. And I said, are you so-and-so? And she said, yes, I am. She's 83 years old and drooped over. I thought, oh, God. She said, Reverend, she had real high respect for me. Amen, most of them do. Amen. She said, Reverend, would you go with me up there to see my boy? I gowned all back up and got all back ready. I walked in there. Amen. That mother said, now, preacher, my boy ain't got no disease. My boy's got whooping cough. That's all the matter, my boy. He's got the whooping cough. I don't care how bad that boy's been. Amen. 2 weeks before he struck down, he stole his mother's clothes at 83 years old and pawned them for a dollar to get another hit, to get another drink. He took the last window fan out of the house at 95 degrees of a mother laying there gasping, even in the hot of the day, and pawned it for another drink. But that mother said, that's my boy. I love that boy. He ain't never done no wrong. Oh, God, that's the mother's love. But oh, God. She walked in there and began to rub his head. And she said, Bubba, it's Mama. Bubba, it's Mama. Bubba, please talk to Mama. The preacher's here. And Mama, would you please talk to us? No response. He's gone. Amen. She starts saying, Bubba, it's Annie Mae. It's your Mama. Mama loves you. The preacher's here. Would you wake up and talk to us? He was out. We talked for half an hour and nothing moved. Amen. I went to church and I said, I'm going back to that hospital. I walked back in that hospital, Brother Roger. I got myself, that dear old mother sitting there. She's so embarrassed. She had a pair of sunglasses on. Every time I was in her presence, she put them sunglasses on in that dark room. And I peeped up there on her real quick, and she took them off. No one around. She could face reality. But when she seen me, she slammed them sunglasses back on because she's ashamed and embarrassed. Amen. I'll tell you something, young person. You go ahead and go your merry way, but your mom and dad's going to weep, cry and mourn and groan because of your rebellious. You're putting gray hairs in their head. Come on here. Help me just a minute. I'm trying to shut her down here. It's 9 o'clock. I got to go. Amen. I got to have mercy, but I'd like to talk to the young people. I've got a burden for young folks, young people. You don't have to be lost. You can get yourself such a zeal of God. Amen. That every time something happens, you jump right up and say, thank God. Let's go on for God. Come on now. You don't have to be a grudge to come to church. You can be happy living for Jesus. Amen. I stepped in that room. Josh and I walked up to Roosevelt, and I pointed my head towards Roosevelt's ear, and I said, Roosevelt, you need Jesus. And Brother Collins, he was gone. He was already out. And if I never get out of this pulpit alive, Roosevelt raised his left hand towards heaven. He sat up in that bed. He shook and trembled. I thought, my God, is Roosevelt getting another chance to pray? Oh, I don't know, Brother Setzer, if he did, but I pointed him to the cross. I told him there was hope at the cross. I told him there'd be victory at the cross. They asked me to preach the funeral, and I stood before all that crowd of people and shouted and rejoiced and magnified God. I told him he preached his own funeral. I couldn't change his destiny. But I said, he's in the hands of a just God. But I said, there's one thing I can tell you. I pointed him to the cross. And I asked God to have mercy on him. That's what I'm doing to you tonight, sis. You're in the gall of bitterness. You're in the cords of iniquity. You're walking the streets. You're fixing to walk into a new venture. You've never been there. I'll tell you, you better walk in it with Jesus. Full blast. It's a mean old world out there. It's dark. You better get joy till it runs out of your face. Peace like a river. Come on, hit me. My God, how horrible would it be to die? Now, I want to tell you something. There ain't too many preachers that'll stand behind a Bible stand. It's not our job in the first place and say so-and-so went to hell. We can't do that. Amen. No, no. But I want to tell you something. If we say great words and you're in hell, it's not going to change the destiny. What's going to change it is if you get to the cross and settle the old account before you draw your last breath. That's what a change of destiny. A few days ago in closing, amen, a little lady next door to me come down to die. 80 some years old. I mowed her grass, took care of her yard for her. Such a sweet little person. Sweet as sweet can be, Brother Randy. She died. I was away in the camp meeting. They called me. I ran home, got there in time, had this little graveside service. Amen. I wanted to attend service, and the preacher said, oh, said, she's fine. She's in heaven. She's such a sweet person. Every time you do something for her, she'd make great comments and said, I know somebody like that would surely be in heaven. Amen. And went on and on and on how you know that they make a confession of faith 40 years ago or 50 years ago, and I'm sure everything's all right. Amen. We buried her and walked away. And amen. I hugged her boy's neck. And amen. He is glad we, you know, could come and be kind to him during such an hour. But just a few nights ago, that boy walked over to the fence. And he said something to this little neighbor lady next door, which is a good Holy Ghost woman. And she told me about this. And he said, you know what, preacher? That boy of hers walked over and said, when mom come down to die, just moments before she died, said she starts saying something. Said she starts saying, don't tell me I'm going to hell. Don't tell me I'm going to hell. Don't tell me I'm going to hell. The boy said, Mom, I'll go get the preacher right now. And she said, don't tell me I'm going to hell. I'm going to hell. I don't care if the Jehovah Witness, I don't care if the Episcopalian, I don't care if they're Catholic, I don't care who they are. When they start down the last mile and they start staring the death in the eye, it's all a different look then. Everything looks different then. Infidels just cried for a little more time. God haters just cried for a little more time. Even people that didn't even believe there was a God, even when they come down to die and stir it right in the eye, they ask for a little pinch of time. Just a little more time. Don't want to have to face this. And she said, "Hun, don't tell me I'm going to hell." The preacher went up there. She said, "I'm too tired. I'm too tired. I'm too tired. I'm too tired." And she died. Her last words was, "Don't tell me I'm going to hell." You asked yourself the question, where do you think she went? I never knowed her to pray. I never knowed her to go to church. Amen. All my time in Paducah, she never went to church. She didn't have time for God. Amen. She's too busy keeping up her little house and all of her beauty in her yard and her little waterfalls and her little squirrels and her little trees and plants and bushes, until now she's at jaws of death. And she's saying, "Don't tell me I'm going to hell." I want to tell you something, buddy. Amen. You can believe anything you want to believe. Amen. But I grant you one thing. When you come down to die and you start stirring over yonder, at first it may seem like you're going through a tunnel and there's light at the end of that tunnel and all's going to be well. But if you're not mighty careful, if you ain't lived for God, when you get through that tunnel, it'll be hell. I said it'll be hell. It'll be hell. Oh God! Don't go to hell, young person. Oh, you might laugh at me, but don't laugh at God. Don't laugh at God. You'll regret the day you ever laughed at God. Father, thank you for the service, this message tonight. I did my best to preach. Lord, it's been on my heart for days. Oh God, I'm trying to tell everybody everywhere I go, don't go to hell. Lord, hell, there's somebody must be going to hell, God, for hell's enlarging herself. Amen. Hell stir up the debt that's in her. Oh, the rich man cried from hell. God, please help somebody to realize tonight, it's not mama, not daddy, but it's them. It's not my brother, not my sister, but it's me, oh Lord. Standing in need of prayer. For if I lie tonight in a bed and close my eyes and never awake, where will my eternity be? Father, help us all to believe in eternity. For many do not believe in eternity, or they'd live better. God, forgive us of our sleep and our slumber and our slack. Lord, we're in the end time. Jesus is coming. Lord God, please wake us up. Stir us, shake us, give us revival in our souls that we may escape the flames of hell. In Christ's name, would you stand with me? Come around the altars, please. Young people, I feel like you need to come. Amen. And pray. Seek the Lord. You've got a golden opportunity here at this church. This is great. This is a wonderful place. Stick with the church. You'll never go wrong. Stay with the man of God. But oh, get it settled in your soul. Get it settled in your heart. Get Jesus in your life. And you'll never regret it. Amen.
Eternity without a Savior. Eternity so far away. Eternity, it's forever. Where will you spend that long eternity? There'll be weeping and wailing, but not in heaven. You'll be somewhere out in eternity, but you'll be lost, lost, lost forever. Eternity without a Savior. When your friends